It's something all of us experience at different levels throughout our lives. What causes it for one person may not cause it for another. I'm, of course, talking about stress. No matter our age, socioeconomic background, our gender, or any other identifier, we've all experienced stress in various ways. My name is Alana Dunkley of Asperia Corp, and on today's podcast, we'll be talking about stress. We'll be talking about how we can identify it, the ways that we can control it, and joining me for today's discussion is Eric Rubel. Eric is the Vice President of Clinical Experience at Asperia and oversees the daily operations of the clinical department. He's a registered psychotherapist and specializes in the assessment and treatment of addictive behaviors. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you very much, Alana. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. I'm glad you were able to help us with this podcast today. So Eric, we're all experiencing it on some level with the current situation, with the pandemic. Everyone's a part of it right now. So let's just get right into it. What exactly is stress?
Well, Nana, that's a good question. Actually, yeah. Stress can be defined in many ways. And it's actually a state that occurs when individuals are, for example, when, say, they're faced with events that they perceive as endangering their psychological or physical well-being. So we can look at it that way. Or we might also look at it when there's some uncertainty in one's ability to deal with challenging or threatening events. Or we could even look at it when one's reacting to an environmental event that is interpreted as simply just threatening.
Of course. And I mean, it seems like a basic question, but people talk about stress all the time, and we don't really have, sometimes we just kind of see it as, oh, just like a fleeting thing or something that comes and goes. But there are, I love how you've defined it and broken it down for us. It helps us to really understand the full scope of what stress can, how stress can manifest. So it really sounds like stress can occur in any situation at any given time. Is that right?
Yeah, it is right, actually. You know, we can even classify, when we look at stress, we can really just even classify it in different ways. You know, it manifests in different ways. We can look at it in so many various forms. And we may not even realize this, but as we are experiencing stress, we might not even really know that we're experiencing it.
Yeah.
But of course, it certainly is good to know how stress can be created, because when we do that, when we know that, then we can help alleviate it. And when we become aware of the root cause, then, you know, we'll be able to address it a lot better and actually hopefully deal with it effectively. So actually, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, like, what are some of the types of root causes that we would, you know, we would start to experience, or what would be some of the causes that you're thinking of?
Well, one would be what I would say would be classified as an anticipatory type of stress. Mm-hmm. And that's really simply, Alana, is just not knowing and waiting for something to happen. So of course, right now, the pandemic is, you know, on everybody's mind. We're living through it, and we're anticipating when it's going to end. We don't know when it's going to end, and it's causing a lot of what we would call anticipatory stress. Maybe we can look at stress also in terms of situational. So again, let's go back to the pandemic. So we're in this situation right now. It's happening in real time. We're all living through it right now. So that's what we would consider situational stress. You know, people are dealing with current challenges at home, being forced to work at home, and it's causing people a lot of stress right in this current situation. What about chronic stress? That's another one I want to throw out to you. So, chronic stress is really just something that happens over a repeated amount of time. It's an extended period of time where it just continuously occurs. So, for example, let's say, you know, you're in your home, and let's say you're in a condominium or an apartment, and your neighbors are playing loud music, or they're running up and down the floor, and it's constantly.
Eric, you're reading my mind.
Yes. I can imagine.
Exactly what's happening to me right now.
Yeah. So that's, and that happens for, you know, week after week, hopefully not month after month in this pandemic, but it's been happening on a continuous basis and it's just nonstop. So that's something that we would call chronic stress. And actually there's one more, Alana, I wanted to mention. That's what we would call residual stress. And that's pretty much facing the consequences or impact on, say, maybe your financial well-being after the pandemic is finally over. You know, what impact will that have on, let's say, people's bills, especially if they were out of work for a period of time, or students, for example, who had to put their classes on hold or couldn't finish up their classes. Now the main situational stress of the pandemic's finished, but now the residual stress of trying to pay those bills, trying to finish all those classes and write those papers, that can be very stressful. That's kind of leftover stress. So, you know, one thing that we should be aware of, however, is that each of these types of stress, they don't necessarily come in one at a time. They can be kind of continuous or they can be blending, they can cross over. So one might experience anticipatory stress and situational stress at the same time.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, even with something like our financial well-being, once this is over, you're still anticipating what could the effects be on the economy and how is that going to affect me? So that's anticipatory stress, even from the residual stress. So it can get even more complicated. I have another question. How can we really identify if we're experiencing this type of stress and the different ways that we experience it?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. But actually, even before I answer that, I think it's also important to take a look at just some of the ways that we experience stress. So, for example, we experience stress psychologically, physically, behaviorally, and socially. You know, stress comes in all different shapes and sizes and forms, but psychological stress, for example, refers to the emotions that we experience, feelings such as anxiety or frustration. I'm sure you can relate to that. I can relate to that. I'm sure everyone who's listening to this podcast can relate to that. So those emotions that we're all experiencing, that's part of psychological stress. And then also the way we think about things is as well. You know, how many times have you probably stood in your home saying, "Just I can't stand this any longer. I just want this to end."
Yeah,
that's what we're telling ourselves, and that also affects us from a psychological stress perspective. So, in addition to psychological stress, there's also the physical stress. And when we talk about physical stress, we're really referring to the physiology or how stress affects our physical body. And are we feeling worn down? Do we have that aching back or a headache that just constantly pounding? So that's the physical stress. Then we look at behavioral stress, which is basically referring to how we act or behave. You know, how is it affecting our behavior? Eating behavior, sleeping behavior. Are we not sleeping well at night? Are we getting up early? Are we not being able to fall asleep? How it's affecting our activities and our behaviors. And then social stress as well. You know, social distancing is what we all hear right now, all over. Don't forget to practice social distancing. But with social distancing can also contribute to social stress. And social stress really is referring to how all the interpersonal factors we experience with interacting, or in this case, lack of interacting with other people. So, you know, now when we look at your question, how can we identify if we are experiencing stress? Well, okay, think about this, Alana. Think about the last time you're in a stressful situation. Try to recall some of the mental and physical symptoms you experienced.
Well, my heart would be racing. My hands would start to shake. I would feel like I want to run away. Strong feelings of fear. Those would be some of the things that I would experience immediately.
Yep. You know what? I think what you just described can be shared by probably most of our listeners right now. You know, although we may experience different types of symptoms, you know, those ones that you just mentioned are very common. You know, pounding heart, sweaty palms, tense muscles, a headache, tight jaw, sleep problems, fatigue, or chronic pain. These, of course, mostly fall under the physical stress category, but, there are other symptoms such as depression and guilt, inability to think clearly or remember details. Those would be the psychological stress that I was describing before. Difficulties getting up in the morning or eating, as I mentioned before, or drinking too much or eating too much or eating too little. That's all falls under the behavioral type of stress. And, not wanting to talk with or be around others, or not wanting to get up in the morning or participate in your regular group activities, those are all the signs of social stress.
Yeah, of course, the last thing you want to do is have a lengthy conversation when you're feeling super stressed out. Of course, a combination of those things. And so what I hear you saying is that there's a lot of what contributes to how we feel is what we think and how we think about the circumstances that we face. Is that kind of right?
Yep, that's well put. Yeah. Absolutely. No one person will experience stress the same way as and in the same combination as other people. There's symptoms from two or more categories that I described above are often experienced, much like anything else related to our health. It's a very individualized experience. For example, let's say, when you're running late for a social gathering, here in Canada, when we're running late, Canadians usually are stressed out, anxious, wanting to get there quick and upset about being late. And that's a big deal for us, most Canadians. However, people from a different country might think the concept of running late doesn't exist. It's not a big deal. So it's really individualistic how one looks at it.
Yeah, of course. And so what type of situations really do you find contribute to stress?
Yeah, another good question. Well, things like trauma, traumatic events, life changes, whether they be big or small, even interpersonal conflicts or daily hassles, waiting in line at the grocery store for 20 minutes or waiting in lines to get into the grocery store.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely a change.
Yes. Unpredictability and lack of control over things, either real or perceived, they all contribute to stress. And again, what may seem like a small inconvenience to one person, for example, like a flat tire, can create a whirlwind of emotions for someone else.
So why is it so important that we manage this type of stress?
Well, aside from the immediate mental, emotional, and physical responses that we were talking about just a few minutes ago and how they affect our personal lives, this can also extend into our professional lives. With these combined, stress can have debilitating and far-reaching consequences that can affect our entire livelihood. So here, take a guess on this. So how much do you think stress-related absences cost workplaces in our society each year?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I'd say a couple million.
Well, not a bad guess, but you're way off.
Oh boy.
I hope you're sitting down because because stress-related absences cost us about $3.5 billion a year just for stress alone.
$3.5 billion. Wow. I never expected it to cost that much. I can definitely see why it's really, really important to manage stress, not only obviously from a personal perspective, but we never really think of it from a business perspective as well.
Yeah. And you can relate, I'm sure, just like I can relate, and hopefully I'm sure our listeners can relate as well, that our personal lives and our business lives really kind of intermingle with one another, and there's always that balancing. So one who can deal with personal stress more effectively will certainly have an impact on the business side of things and vice versa. So now you know some of the reasons why it is important to manage stress, but it's also important to know some of the ways how to manage stress.
Yeah, please tell us how, because we can hear all the reasons, but we want to know how we can do this, how we can manage our stress.
Well, a lot of people actually find the best way to manage stress is to actually think about what is actually within our control. Things within our control include, what we think, how we specifically act in different situations and the choices we make, and also our attitude. Do we want to take a positive attitude? Do we want to take a negative attitude? And our communication style as well. So those are things that are actually things that we can control. But, let's try a little experiment. The next time you find yourself in a stressful situation, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What's within my control in this situation? Or what's really important here? Or how long will it last, this stressor? And in the realm of my life, just how big is this? You're sitting in traffic and you you're trying to get through to through to your destination, and there's a lot of cars, and you're upset, but ask yourself, in the realm of my life, is this really a huge thing? Not pleasant, but is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah, probably not. And it really goes back to what I was saying before about how we think about the circumstances that we're in. That's really what contributes to the stress.
Yep, you're talking right there, Alana. Absolutely. Yep. often when we remove clouded judgment and put things into perspective, we immediately begin to feel less stress. We can start to experience the benefits of that immediately.
So another question for you, would it also be helpful to think about things that aren't within your control?
Yep, absolutely. Thinking of things that are not within our control is really another tool that we can use to help us manage stress. So for example, and I kind of already mentioned this, traffic. It's hard to control traffic unless you're a traffic officer. What about the weather? We can't control that. People and how they act or what others say and do. What are other people's priorities? And whether even someone is negative or positive. We can't control those things.
I know, but sometimes we think we can.
Yeah.
So that's where the stress comes in, where you're putting pressure on yourself to do something that you can't actually do. Is there one thing that manages stress best that you found?
Yeah, I don't know if there's actually one thing, but certainly, much like the symptoms of stress itself, stress management techniques can vary, and there's numerous ones. Some people may benefit from physical coping strategies. They find exercising, eating well can be very helpful, while others might benefit from just some psychological coping strategies, maybe some deep breathing and mindfulness techniques and talk therapy. So it really kind of comes all anything or in between all those. It's really what works best. Some popular choices people will engage in would be deep breathing techniques, yoga, indulging, sometimes even in guilty pleasures such as eating chocolate or retail therapy, within reason, of course. Or simply spending time with family and friends. And I know we have a lot of time to do that right now. As you can see, stress management strategies really do not have to be complex, Alana. It doesn't have to be anything real difficult and complicated. It can really be some really simple type of strategies. And
yes,
most of them can be.
Go ahead.
Yeah, most of them can be implemented quite easily. Go ahead.
Sometimes we think it has to be as elaborate as a spa day or, something that's really like a vacation, but sometimes it can be just as simple as some of the strategies that you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And using some of these simple strategies can actually give one relief right away. It can be like immediate. And, ideally, of course, if the stressor can be removed, that certainly helps as well. If we can just remove this pandemic that we're going through right now, that will certainly be very helpful. But sometimes it's difficult to remove the actual stressor itself.
Great. Those are some excellent techniques. And thank you so much for sharing. And just before we go, is there any benefit to stress?
Well, geez, why would you ask a question like that, Alana? That's kind of very intuitive of you. Well, actually, Yeah, there is actually something what we would term as eustress. So for example, some levels of stress can positively impact performance. For example, think of elite athletes who compete in international competitions. They no doubt experience stress to some degree, but they're able to use that stress as motivation to help achieve their goals and enhance their performance. So in these ways, a little bit of stress can actually be very helpful.
That's really great. I think I need some eustress in my life. I'm just curious, is there anything in particular that causes you the most stress?
All right, now you're putting me on the spot. Yes, doing these podcasts for the first time.
Oh gosh, sorry to stress you out, Eric. I'd like to thank you so much, Eric, for joining me today and providing us with all this amazing information on stress and how to control it. Remember, if you ever find yourself in a stressful situation or in a situation where you need to talk to somebody, contact your employee or student assistance program for support. We really look forward to having you join us for our next episode. Have a good one.